Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to Heroes Asylum Issue 75. Thank you guys for downloading, subscribing. We appreciate it for joining us here on Facebook and on on YouTube here, but also on our podcast. If you guys are catching us later this week on the podcast, thank you. I am here with Kane over to my right.
What's up, doing good, buddy?
How you doing, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, it's just been an interesting week. We've had some interesting news drop. A couple of deaths have happened. It's been an interesting week so far. Here we're in our Florida, so you know, we've sort of started our second phase of lockdown. So we're enjoying ourselves here, and of course we have been busy on our sister channel for Midnight Movies. What have we been doing over there?
Doing one a week now, pretty much. Yeah. Now, yeah, we did a twofer last night. We did our double feature. We did The Crow and The Crow City of Angels, and The Crow should be dropping this week, and City of Angels probably in a couple weeks, I would say. So
yeah, I think what I'm like probably the way I'm going to release is Crow, then what we're going to do next week, which is part of our regular scheduled like different movies and outside of the comic book realm. We'll be doing Big Lebowski. It's my pick. Yeah. And then I think we'll probably drop the Crow City of Angels after that, or and just so. But yeah, we've been doing a lot of midnight movies, which is great. We got to, you know, get out there and do some more stuff.
Yeah, gotta put some more stuff on the page, yep. More content for you guys to watch, to
exactly.
Follow.
So stuff, and I have been trying again. I tried this week. It got at least one day out of it because it was a big busy day. I did a Facebook Live video, so. But part of that day, there was a bunch of big bat news. One of them actually was the passing of one of our bat news or bat movie folks, Joel Schumacher. St. Elmo's Fire, The Lost Boys.
I'm sorry, I was waiting for the Optimus Prime death music to come on.
Oh, no, I wasn't going to do that to you this time. Again, we're trying something different. I have not queued that. I took that music out of my queue.
Okay, just making
but,
sure.
Yeah, but like, no, I mean...
Here we go.
I know a lot of the Bat fans out there are a little... It's a kind of a trying time with them, you know, and this is a divisive director for them. I mean, when you really delve down to... The movies he did for the Batman movies that they're not always loved.
No, they're not. And, you know, you find out things later on in life, which is always the case. You know, if you're in a relationship with somebody up and you break up and you think it's one person's fault, the other person's fault, and later on in life you find out it's completely different. Same thing with Schumacher with the Batman movies. You know, I lambasted this guy really hard after Batman and Robin. But then, and years later, I discovered, and actually recently, because I was reading some stuff on Schumacher, that basically the studio told him to make that movie like that. Wanted them to be kiddie. They wanted to sell toys. They wanted to be bright and beautiful and all that stuff. And as much as I knocked that movie, Joel was just doing his job.
Yeah.
So if anybody, I'm going to knock Warner Brothers on that.
Yeah. And again, I've always been a defender of the movies because at that moment in time, I'm taking that time capsule of the 90s. There were four Batman books coming out weekly. One book was The Dark Knight, very gruesome. The Detective was gruesome and darker. Then you had the Batman, which was brighter. Like the draw, you had different not different writers because they all followed the same storyline, but you had different artists, and each artist was different. And there were a couple of bright, kiddie-esque Batman books out there. And to me, when I watched those movies, that's what I thought was going on. I was like, okay, they're doing a comic book, a movie version of that series of comic books. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've always sort of defended it in a way that, you know, okay, they're just doing that version because there are different versions of Batman out there.
Yeah, that's the case throughout his history. He's always been different versions. It's kind of like how Brave and the Bold I never caught on to until later on in life. I was like, you know, you got to take it for what it is.
But I mean, at that time, the time capsule of what, of the 90s, there were four books out there, and all four books were different styles. And different Batman, you know, and you could always tell what book it was and what the content was going to be like based off of the length of his ears.
Yeah.
The higher the ear, the harder, the more gruesome that you were going to get into.
Yeah.
The shorter the ear was more the entry level. I would really prefer to call it like
and
an entry level Batman.
When he was at his zenith as far as his ear length, mm-hmm. he eventually turned into a vampire. So just
exactly.
Let that go in your brain for a second.
That's always you always know how evil your Batman's going to be, or how hardcore he's going to be based off of the shape of his ears.
It was Cowell.
But I mean, with Schumacher, it wasn't. I mean, you just have to take those two movies and take them out of his his repertoire. But you look at Falling Down, 8mm, Lost Boys, Flatliners. I mean, he's got an amazing career. So I mean, definitely will be missed. I don't believe he's done anything recently.
I didn't see anything
that when I was looking up. I mean, I've got the article up here right now of when he passed. You know, of when he announcing when he passed. You know, I don't see anything recent. So, but definitely somebody that we're gonna did make a mark, if not just for us Batman fans, but also for just movie going fans,
just film fans. Yeah, he just did a lot of good stuff out there, and you know, I'll be the first to say, don't think of him for those two Batman movies. He had other good stuff out there, so just. Check it out.
Yep. And then another one.
I can't believe he did Falling Down. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then another folk we had, or gentleman that passed away. We had a designer, Milton Glaser. He was creator of the iHeart New York logo, and also DC Comics logo. He was
the new one, or the new one?
Well, you probably he's 91, so not the new one, but it really hasn't changed. It's DC. It's still the circle and DC within it. It's not hasn't like changed that much. But just the logo, he designed it, and I mean, again, he's the one that designed the infamous I Heart New York, you know, and all you New Yorkers and New Jersey folks, you guys know what you're talking about.
But, yeah, we know what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, no, so he designed the star, the DC star. So that's one he designed. Yeah, I know you can't see it from where you're at, but I have it up on screen right now. The logo that he designed. That it was a sideways DC with the four stars in the circle.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one he was known for designing. Yeah, okay. And then of course the I Heart New York, and we all know and love that one because that's a huge huge tourist thing.
That's a big one. Big one.
So what do you have? What'd you come across this week? Anything fun? Interesting.
Do we want to
start off with the elephant in the room, because we have to kind of talk about that?
Well, if we talk about the elephant in the room, it's going to last probably all show.
So,
like a little, I think we should, you know what? We might as well, because the other news stories don't really compare to this.
No, they really don't. Well, a couple of them. Well, again, they're not really the ones I have. Really, aren't news story esque. I have a couple that, well, actually, one that falls into the line of this, but we can talk about this, but. About how you go ahead. I mean, it's your boy. I mean, that is your boy. So
yeah. It's this is all pending.
Yeah, still not confirmed yet.
Nothing is confirmed. Nothing is official. I just want to reiterate that, because a lot of sites out there, it's happening. No, believe me, I'll be the first person who's jumping up and down, doing jumping jacks 100 times, doing backflips if this is confirmed. But it's not confirmed yet. However, according to Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, Michael Keaton is in negotiations to reprise his role as Bruce Wayne Batman for the upcoming Flash movie entitled, I guess right now tentatively still Flashpoint. So, yeah. Thoughts?
I mean, I really had my thoughts. You know, I popped on Facebook Live on that Monday, because it was Monday last week when this was announced. I mean, I did put my thoughts out there. I think it's great to see him come in and finally re-embrace his what really got him. He was already a big actor to begin with, but that really put him in the lexicon of the comic book world. He stamped Batman for a generation. Again, like I said, when Danny O'Neill passed away a couple weeks ago, Danny defined what Batman was for me in that, you know, in that time. Mm-hmm. And I think Keaton did the same thing for the rest of us, as he was our first live Batman since Adam West. So, I mean, definitely something to, you know, to look at.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, like, if you're going to do a movie like Flashpoint and you want to get eyes on it, this is the best way to get eyes on it. It basically, it's going to detract, you know, I haven't heard anything about the Ezra Miller thing anymore. I mean, what has it been, like 3 months now? We haven't heard.
It happened and vanished. I don't think anything's going to come of it.
If they wanted to cover it up, just be the best way to do it, which I don't think they need to cover it up. But getting Keaton back, if they get him back, is a home run. It's a complete home run. You could put him in the DCEU universe. He doesn't even have to be Batman wearing the suit. Literally does not. You can have him be the mentor character, which we've talked off air many times. Like, he can be that guy. Like, you go for advice. Like, you know, I don't know how to beat this guy. What do we do? And then he's like, oh, I fought him like 100 times before. Yes, here's how you do it. You know, and he could train Batgirl. You know, maybe it'll lead to Batman Beyond. Who knows? I mean, there's talks about that with HBO series spinning off. Also talks in this article that he's going to put the Batsuit on. I mean, that could be like a flashback.
I know the articles are all like fanboy wishing, like, oh, God, I wish he probably would put that on. Because, again, he's still in talks. Nobody's in those rooms. Nobody's, you know, around those rooms except for him, his manager, and whoever the heads of Warner Brothers that are really involved in this. So, yeah, I don't think we have any news of what he's going to do. No,
I think he should play Flashpoint Batman, but as Bruce Wayne. Like, if you're going to do your own version of Flashpoint, what a different way to do it. Like, you could do dystopian future. You know, Flash messes up time. He comes back. Like, the theory that I read online, which is an interesting theory, they want to compare this to Back to the Future 2. You know, if you guys haven't watched Back to the Future 2, you know, Marty changes something, but he doesn't know that Biff is in the back of his seat. Something goes awry, and he goes back to 1985. But it's a dystopian 1985 where Biff basically rules the world. So what if Barry does something like that, which is sort of similar? He goes back, he thinks he's fixed it, but he comes back, but it's a dystopian type of time, and you see this murdering Bruce Wayne Batman instead of, like, you know, the Batman that we all know. You know, that'd be interesting, a weird little take on it. That's just my opinion. I mean, that'd be fascinating. Like, instead of him, like, with that suit, he has, like, the red cowl with the eyes, and it's Keaton. I think he could pull it off. I mean, like I said, it's all speculation, just a thought I have.
That's a nice idea, but Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I know they're still in talks. I mean, a week before that, they were in talks with Jeffrey Dean. I don't think those talks have canceled out. I just think the Keaton talk, like, pushed that one back into the back, you know, of all those big stories.
If they get him, that's great too.
He needs to be that Batman you just described. And I could see Keaton being another type of Batman, the Batman Beyond character, the more mentoring one, not the gun-toting one. Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the route you need to go when it comes to that. Mm. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it to see what they do.
There's a lot of things you can do, especially with Flashpoint. I mean, Flashpoint's been done 100 times, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, if you're going to do it in the movie version, you know, go away from the comics. Do something completely different. That'll just blow fans away. I mean, to me, you know, one of the big things when I watched Crisis on Infinite Earths, the crossover this year, I was kind of let down, to be honest. I mean, I liked it. I liked the cameos they had in it, which was kind of cool. Nice little callbacks. But overall, you know, they've done better. I think there was too much pressure with Crisis on Infinite Earths. That's a hard one to adapt to.
Well, this is your first time. This is the first time you're getting a Batwoman, a Batgirl, and then you throw into the fact that, yeah, this was Green Arrow's last stint. So yeah, there definitely was something, you know, that was the hard part, I think, for them.
Yeah, there's too many moving parts, too many things going on there. And like I said, it's very hard to adapt to. There's a lot of stuff going on that they didn't even include in the crossover. Most of it to do with The Flash. And I think Superboy Prime, there's another Superman involved. There's a ton of other stuff they didn't even put in there, but that's another thing. But, you know, getting back to Keaton, it could be a great way to introduce the Robert Pattinson Batman into the DCU. I mean, you could have a point where Barry, let's say at the end of the movie, he fixes time, and then all of a sudden he gets a phone call, and it's Robert Pattinson coming. He's like, hey, Barry, what's going on? And he's like, Bruce? And then that's how you could end the movie. Literally. I mean, there's a lot of ways you could do it.
I mean, you could go any route. I just think that one would be... Because everything I hear about that movie is they wanted that one to be standalone.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see that. There's too many... I mean, if they're going to be doing Jeffrey Dean and Keaton, they've got enough Batman. They don't need to throw in the other one. And you know... I mean, it's great that they are finally doing the one thing that we always said they needed to do, was embrace your multiverse. You know, DC Comics has been known for embracing the multiverse in so many ways, and I think that's the best thing to do for them is to just embrace it and go forward. And I think that would be something that would literally crush would crush MCU in that aspect.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, if you look at a lot of DC's main storylines, arcs in the comics, they have to do with the multiverse. I mean, the current one they have now in Death Metal, all multiverse. I mean, dark multiverse, but still the same things. Christ and Infinite Earths was a multiverse thing. I don't think Darkest Hour was multiverse. Might have been, I'm not sure. But they always play with their multiverse. That's the big thing about DC, what's different than Marvel. I think because Marvel does have a multiverse, they just don't use it.
Yeah, they refer to it.
I think they're going to start to use it now.
I know, I think... I don't know if they're going to use the multiverse so much as maybe just the... Because, I mean, if you look at how MCU is very, very microverse-based, I think that may be what the route they're going.
Maybe. I mean, if you don't make a movie called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness without introducing some kind of...
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm definitely... Yeah, I'm sure that we're going to see that, but I just... Again, because they don't have a big one, a big enough multiverse, and they don't play with it enough, I'd be afraid of what they might, you know, what they might come across.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't know. But then Feige we trust, so who knows?
Not always. Don't forget, man.
He's had stinkers, but I'm just saying, like,
don't put everything on him.
He's hit more grand slams than he has.
Yeah, no, definitely.
That's all I'll say.
Definitely.
I mean, so I'll trust a guy like that. He's hitting like 450 right now. So,
yeah.
You know, but yeah.
So did you see this weekend? There was a chat on Zoom that they were doing a reunion of sorts, trying to get a bunch of people back together for doing reunions, and one of them was actually the X-Men reunion.
Oh, I heard
it. And it was all the original X-Men from the first movie, and then slowly they started like glitching in ways, and so they would have it started off really with Ryan Reynolds popping in, and he popped in. Let's see if I can find this for you guys. There you go. It says, you know, in typical Ryan Reynolds fashion, he couldn't pass up an opportunity to, you know, to prank his favorite, you know, trolling victim, of course, Hugh Jackman. So they were, it was part of the Global Citizen Virtual Benefit Concert. And the original X-Men cast all got together from what this says. You had Jackman, Barry, Famke, Patrick Stewart, and everybody was on here. And then Ron Reynolds just popped in to started to kind of troll, and they all started joking around with each other. Then for a hot minute, James McAvoy and Sophie Turner popped on, and Sophie says, "Oh, I thought this was for Game of Thrones." And then she pops off, and then you see Jansen. She's actually like, I have a James Bond reunion Zoom to go to. And Barry's like, oh, me too. Sorry, I got to go. Then all of a sudden, yeah, the split reunion, you had McAvoy and Stewart. And Stewart's going, oh, I got a Star Trek convention or one to go to. So they've backed off. And finally, it's just Ryan and Hugh Jackman in the chat.
Oh, Lord.
And they have a moment there just kind of talking with each other. And then, of course, you know, he says, you know, sometimes in a distant future, the hard work they just starts talking about the charity they were there for. Mm-hmm. But I think that was awesome that they actually had all these people planned out, ready to pop in. You even had Liev Schreiber pop in. And just,
oh, really?
Yeah, he just pops in and goes, X-Men Origins, unite, and then he pops out. Like, he literally, like most of these people literally popped on for a hot second and then dropped off again.
That's great.
And I mean, to me, I think that was awesome. That was pretty fun. And, you know, to see have a split reunion and then, you know, Patrick Stewart say, hey, well, you know, I got to go to a Star Trek one. And they all, I think it was a lot of fun for them to do. So there's still that fire left in with the X-Men and Deadpool and Ryan. Of course, you and I were talking about that before we jumped on the new Ryan Reynolds show, the Hot Lava.
Hot Lava,
Or the Floor's Lava.
I didn't even know that was his show until you told me, but I was like, really?
Yeah.
A concept that was created by little kids in the living room is now an actual TV show.
That's what you get with that's what you get with Ryan. I mean, he's just a little kid.
I'm just waiting for a TV show all about forts now, where you can build forts with pillows and all that. That's what I'm waiting for.
I'm sure there's out there. I mean, yeah, the Rock's got that one show out there now, where he's taking like different people.
Titan
something like that. It's basically a cleaned up version and not so dorky version of American Gladiators. I mean, it's still American Gladiators because it's like they fire stuff at each other and do this and that. So.
So, do you want to be the ultimate Titan? No, I don't.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
I'm good in my chair.
So, what have you found?
Something strange, actually. You know, they're still doing that Pirates of the Caribbean reboot.
Yes,
they're still doing it. However, there's another reboot, and it's led by an all-female cast, and it's going to be co-produced by Margot Robbie, and one of the writers from Birds of Prey, which scares me a little bit. But yeah, Robbie's going to be in there, talks negotiations that she's going to lead and helm a new all-female-centric Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, along with the other Pirates of the Caribbean, which is being rebooted at the same time. And Jerry Bruckheimer is going to be on exec producer on both of them, which is...
Well, I mean, he's the godfather of the Pirates. He might as well be there.
I don't know, man. Two at the same time? That's... I mean, are they? And he says they're not going to connect. And like,
yeah, that gets kind of weird. Because I mean, I'm a history buff and a little bit of that. And like the Pirates of the Caribbean time frame really wasn't that long of a time.
Yeah,
really was not that long for all of this stuff to happen. I think really the it ran 8 years maybe. I mean, everybody thinks it's like, oh, this was huge, massive. Now it really wasn't that much time. You really didn't have that many great pirates. I mean, of writing quality, yes, you had your Anne Bonnies, you had your Blackbeards. I mean, you did have the main ones, your Davy Jones, but you know, it just, I don't know. I think it's kind of getting a little out of hand. I would love to see them do a great Anne Bonny. I know we had Anne Bonny, I think, in one of the Pirates, like a cameo kind of thing.
I think you did, yeah. They she was mentioned.
Yeah, but I just...
They do mention a lot of the female Pirates in the series, too.
Yeah, they do. But yeah, that's, I mean, maybe if that's what Margot's going with, maybe if it will be a Jerry Bruckheimer movie with Pirates of the Caribbean, but maybe be more historical, I would probably go with that one.
If you're going to go that route, historical route, and take it...
Not full historical, like play around. I mean, you definitely got to have a little craziness.
What is your one of your favorite movies? National Treasure Hunt?
Oh, yeah, National Treasure, yeah.
National Treasure, you could do it like that if you want to do it like that.
Yeah, play a little bit, play with history, but make it fun. You know, so yeah, that would be I'd be okay with it. And I mean, again, Margot's doing her thing. I mean, she's really killing it. I don't have any problems with her. I'm
just worried about one of the writers being from Birds of Prey. What I'm really concerned about.
I'm not, because I mean, Birds of Prey was written well. We just didn't like what they did to our characters. Really, when you sit down, Birds of Prey wasn't that bad in the movie, but we have. You're playing with our toys. Don't play with our toys the wrong way is what happened to us. You know,
or they could have just changed the title to like, you know, Harley Quinn and her friends. Like,
well, they did. I mean, they did after 3 weeks. They did change it to Harley Quinn. After 3 weeks,
it took a little bit. So. Was it The Emancipation of Harley Quinn? What a stupid title.
Yeah, they eventually changed it up a bit and went a different route. But
it's going to be odd, though. I mean, the female one I can deal with, but the other male one that they're still doing, that is like worrisome to me. Because to me, the male version of Pirates of the Caribbean is always going to be Johnny Depp.
Yeah,
well, Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush, to me. Like, yeah. Those two were the anchors of that franchise.
Orlando Bloom. I mean, don't forget Orlando. I mean, Jeffrey was there. Yeah, Jeffrey wasn't in a lot of... Jeffrey was only in a couple of the movies.
Yeah, but he was more impactful. Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, they were okay. Yeah. They were like the love story that, you know, that was the line too. That was fine. But like, I like Rush and Depp, man.
Yeah.
Those two, to me, were like the anchors. They were the pillars to me. Like, you didn't see Rush in part two. You did. Well, actually, you did see him brush in part two.
You saw his foot. I don't even think it was him.
You saw his foot. No, you saw his foot and his face. So he was in all three, actually. And he comes back for the fourth one, which was not that great. Yeah. The fifth one was better, and then that was it. So.
Yeah. But again, I mean, you think he was only in three out of the five. Not a lot. He missed two movies. I mean, I really don't count him in the second.
You're being technical. He was technically.
Yeah, and it was a foot and a face. And
it was a foot and a face.
A foot and a face, and he bit into an apple.
And he laughed, gurgly. He was like, what is it? It's like, you have to go on Strange. No, no, was it? Was it? Wow, you have to go to World's End. Okay.
Yeah. Come good. Yeah.
Bring it back.
So, I read something here this week. What do you think about, you and I are huge fans of Legends. We feel Legends can do no wrong when it comes to the Arrowverse. You give Legends any story, they can just have so much fun with it. But there's this little story going around that they're talking Legends of Tomorrow Season 6 may introduce the Wonder Twins, but more with the alien theory, because, I mean, they are alien. What do you think about that? And my question is don't they really already have the Wonder Twins with the brother and sister that are already there?
Oh, you're talking about Zari and her brother.
Isn't that really?
So they're like the pseudo Wonder Twins?
They're really already, they already are. You're not doing anything special. They already are the pseudo Wonder Twins. So to me, it's It's like, why they bother already bringing them in other than the fact of having the monkey? You have two. You have a brother.
We've seen Gleek. He is around.
He is. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, when you look really boiled down to it, what we saw last season with in Legends, they actually put their powers together. They held hands. They touched fists.
Yeah.
And they both were able to use the power at the same time. It's screaming Wonder Twins. They're already there. Why do we have to slap a label onto it?
One of them then turned into a pool of water.
That's fine. That's completely fine. But the concept of Wonder Twin powers, these are brother and sister, and they share a power together. And being individually, they're powerful, but together they're even more powerful using the same thing. I think they're kind of already there.
Basically. I mean, do they need to bring him in? No. Will they? They probably will.
They probably will. I mean, just to have Gleek.
They're doing the whole alien. Yeah, just to have Gleek on there. I wonder how they're going to do that. I wonder if he's still going to have like the little uniform that he had in Super Friends. Remember that little uniform? He had the same uniform as his Wonder Twins had.
Yeah, probably like not. Yeah, let's hope not. He might have pants. He might have pants on, and that. Let's just. Well, I'll be good with that.
He's got to have pants, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not, dude? Legends does the things that DC doesn't want to do, basically what I say. They take characters that nobody really cares about and just like, you know, we'll throw them in there, we'll make them cool. Like, I remember one of the first things they did was in season 2, they introduced the Legion. Like, that was the first time we saw the Legion of superheroes. We saw, like, Captain Midnight and we saw, who was Captain Midnight? Somebody else at the ending of the season 1. It was Rex Hudler. I don't know. Hourglass Man, yeah, he was there. I forgot his name. He showed up at the end with somebody else and they introduced, like, the Legion. All those guys.
Hourman, you mean?
Yeah. But if they take... Yeah, Hourman, yeah. Did I say Hourglass?
You said Hourglass Man, which I knew what you meant. But Hourglass Man. I was waiting for you to pause. Because I figure you've caught up on Stargirl, so you know you've already seen him, so...
Yes. Which, I'm totally into the JSA now. I actually got to start reading some comics on them. They're fascinating to me. And along with the ISN, the Injustice Society. I don't know if that was really their name, though. They have another. I think they had another name.
No,
were they always the Injustice Society? You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I'm just smoking too much. I don't know. But anyway, getting back to the Wonder Twins. If you want to bring them in, yes, why not? Do it for a cameo. They're doing the whole alien storyline next year, which I don't know what aliens they're going to use. I mean, I wouldn't use like any of the ordinary aliens. I mean, DC has tons of alien characters you could use. I mean, they already use the Dominators, so check. You can't use them. I mean, who else is out there alien-wise you could use? I'm sure there's tons. The Parasites are out there, right? You could use them.
Trying to think who else is out there that you could possibly get a use on there.
I would say use Evil Kryptonians, but that's been overdone.
I mean, you can go Mongol. I mean, because he's never really been touched. I mean, really, because he's, you know, it's like people jump him. I mean, I know he's the poor man's dark side, but nobody's really touched him. And I think he would be a good one.
He's been, you're right, not even mentioned at all. No. Like they mentioned Warworld,
yeah,
but they don't mention him at all.
No, and I think that would be a perfect one. You can get away with doing that. I mean, we saw the monitor, so.
Do you remember the, there were like these renegade cops for the Green Lanterns? And they fought against the Lanterns.
Talking the Manhunters?
Yes, you could use the Manhunters. I don't think the Manhunters has been used
you
at
could,
all.
You could, but again, you'd have to probably introduce the Green Arrow or Green Lantern.
No, you don't have to. You don't have. You can mention.
I mean, you can just kind of say that
I've learned
from
you, they don't have to introduce some things.
It's you can.
A little slight mention.
You can just say that, hey, they were built to as a intergalactic police force, and their masters... their guardians decided they weren't working out anymore, and just like a slight fanboy nod, and everybody's happy, and we know,
and now
we all know
trolling the universe, you know, seeing if anybody is screwing with time, and that's how they, you know, they meet up with the Legends and do their fighting. I think the Manhunters would be cool. There's something that they have not been used at all, and you can maybe you could throw in Mongol. I'm shocked they have not used Mongol.
Yeah, nobody's touched or
shocked.
Talked about him. I mean, I've seen him animated, but that's about it. And I think the last time I saw him was, I think the Justice League Unlimited. I don't think I've seen him since.
Yeah, that was it. He was in the episode, I think it was a two-parter, where they're on the War World, and I think it's like they take the Justice League and they're fighting against the Manhunters.
No, they, well, no, they, it
I think
was,
the Lanterns are... I thought that's a different one.
The Trial of Jon Stewart was the one that I'm thinking of. But the Manhunters were sort of involved with them, so.
He's a really cool character, too. I mean, I get the whole thing that he's the poor man's dark side, but, you know, you could fix that. It's not a big deal. I mean, you could just really auto. I mean, you don't have to be afraid. That's one of the things that really angers me sometimes about Warner Brothers, their fear of using characters sometimes. They're like, well, no, he looks too much like this guy, and the people will think that's that. I'm like, no, they won't.
Yeah.
How do you know what people are going to think?
We've been reading comic books for how long, and we've never had that issue. I think everybody else can differentiate those characters.
And if people don't know who it is, guess what? Nobody knew who Thanos was at the end of Avengers. Nobody. When everybody saw those post-credit scenes, everybody in the theater was like, who's that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found out who it was.
Yeah, they learned.
But at the beginning, they didn't know who it was. So you sometimes you just can't be afraid. And Legends, to me, is the type of show that it doesn't fear stuff like that. They just throw characters out there like, yeah, here you go. We're going to introduce these guys. There you go. So, and actually, Mongo would be the perfect place for him to show up too. The War World, the own version of stuff.
Yeah,
you could even do Dark Knight's Metal on Legends, and it would make sense to me. That's the show you want to put the wacky
you
stuff.
You just want Metal Live. That's all that is. Sorry,
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, legit, you could really put him on there if you wanted to. You can't. They're kind of still too new, but you know, if you wanted to. And you're bored. There's a storyline out there. You know, that's been
that one. Unfortunately, requires a Batman. That one unfortunately requires a Batman and Joker.
No, you could twist it around and make it your own.
Yeah,
Sarah Lances.
Dear Lord, would we ever hear a week long bitch fest from Kane about that? Why did they do that? Why'd they go that way?
Think about it for a second. It's all a Legends thing. So you could have the White Canary is basically she's going insane, right? That she has all these different evil versions of her, like. And she's like, one of them is fast. It's like almost like a pseudo nod to the Justice League.
I can see you complaining. If you want to. Yeah. So I read something this week, and I figured this one would be a good one to pick your brain. Batman. We have a Batman star, Peter Sarsgaard, says he is a very intense role in the DC Comics adaptation. And basically it's saying that Peter Sarsgaard is playing District Attorney Gil Coulson, and that the actor shared in comments that it indicates that the character has some weight to it. So kind of what are you thinking on this of who it possibly could be?
You know, I have an idea he could be playing.
Who's
I know
that?
It's out of the realm of possibility, but I want you to go with me with this for a second. What if he's a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going through trials and stuff like that, you know, your mind is always going 1,000 different seconds, right? What if he's playing a version of the ventriloquist without the dummy? And basically, instead of the dummy being like the evil side of him, he basically almost like has a split in his head. And like, you know, he's at one minute, he's like this cool, calm collector, you know, in the courtroom and all that stuff. And then he'll switch to this like deviant person like on the outside. He's like, no, I'm gonna do it this way. He's almost like a little crime boss. You could have like a form of the ventriloquist without the dummy.
Yeah, you could.
That's an intense role if you wanted to go that route.
You could definitely, yeah. But yeah, he's playing very intense. I mean, now of course, you know, everybody's jumping attorney going, oh, Two-Face. He's playing a variant of Two-Face, but again, you gotta keep Two-Face Harvey Dent. It's just,
yeah, you can't.
You just don't want to change the name just for changing the name's sake. I don't know whether
he's one of the lesser characters, man. You know what? He'd be a good. I'll tell you who's he's a good choice to play, Boris Karloff. What if he plays a version of Clayface?
Clayface, okay. I mean, yes. Possibly.
Think about that. That's another good one. That's one that hasn't even been touched yet.
Yeah.
And you could allude to him to the next movie. It's like, who is this guy? You know, he's always showing up in different places. And you find out who he really is, and like he's basically acting as a lawyer.
Yeah. True. Yeah. I mean, that is a good idea to go with.
I mean, there's characters they haven't even used in the Bat Universe yet. We've talked about this a million times.
Oh yeah, no, there's none. But yeah, it's just very interesting that he's dropping a hint to going, hey, you know what? I'm playing this intense character, and of course, you know, we know that they are definitely introducing. You know, definitely we're gonna have a Catwoman in there. There's been talks of a Joker.
No.
And we definitely know there's a Riddler. I mean, for if we want, you know, sure, okay, we got these checked off. Yeah, Riddler, Catwoman are for sure. And again, it depends on what Catwoman she's playing, because you know, Catwoman can come off as a hero,
a villain,
and,
yeah,
you know, a hero and villain. So she can go either route. So it just kind of, you know, which route are they going?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, like, I'd rather they not have the Joker, but you know, he's going to come eventually, which I hate, but.
Yeah, we're gonna.
We're gonna get another.
I'm fine it coming. Just let it be two movies from now. Just let's have other villains, and then throw in the Joker. You know, let the Joker be this like you say. You know, this kind of like this one MacGuffin that's just always there in the background. And no, he doesn't do anything. You know, he's always there poking and prodding, but he can never get close, and we just don't have a face. You know, a card here or. You know, it's just something just as always, he'll come across it, you know, for a couple of movies that we just don't know. And he's just building and building and building. And finally, then you get to the Joker. Like, I love what they did in the original Nolan. Hey, you know, this guy's being theatrical like you, and just the card. And I was like, oh, God, can we hold on to that? Just a couple more movies and just have more of those moments.
I wish. Yeah. Well, you know, I wish they would have done it in almost every movie, like little hints here and there. Like, there's another guy bothering us. And like the ending of a movie, you see like a question mark.
Yeah,
and then you just end there, like little things like that make me happy.
Yeah, I mean, we could We don't even need to see it. We could even have it to where they're like talking about, hey, you know, you remember, like, you know, when they start the second movie, hey, you know, a couple of months ago, you had that dealing with the Red Hood gang, and that accident at Acme. End of story. Yeah, we don't need it. You know, it's just we know these things have happened, and you know, just we don't need to see them again. We don't always need to see the pearl drop. We don't need to see Joker fall. We can see that, okay, he's already there.
No. So just give me the hint that it's out there. That's all I need to know.
So what? Anything else you came across?
What do I have? I found something interesting that might tickle your funny bone here. We know that Superman and Lois is going to happen in the CW. The production hasn't started just yet. I believe it's going to start in a month or so. I think that's when they said they're going to go back. Anyway, the Man of Steel is going to face off with Lex Luthor, but... it's not John Cryer. It's a Lex Luthor from an alternate world, which he's going to be played. Let me look at this article right here. He's going to be played by All-American star Willie Parks. So, alternate version of Lex Luthor. I mean, I'm not sure why they can't get John Cryer, but I guess John Cryer's doing tons of stuff with Double Duty on Supergirl, and he was on the crossover, so I guess he's got stuff lined up. But an alternate version of Lex... facing it, Superman. What do you think?
I mean, there have been different versions of Lex Luthor. I mean, when you go back to the 90s, we went away from the old Lex because he died because of kryptonite poisoning, and we had the supposed son of Lex, who was this buff, bearded, long haired guy. You know, red hair though, but it was really Lex. He hates something. Yeah, he was Alexander, but it was Lex because Lex cloned the body and put his mind and his, you know, everything into that body. And then I think it was like 4 years later, it started to deteriorate. So then he started losing his hair and just slowly turned into Lex again. So, I mean, that route, I could definitely see. It's nothing strange for us. And again, we've all seen different versions of Lex. If anybody's watched the, you know, Justice League Crisis on Two Earths, you had a different Lex there. So, I mean, if they're going to introduce it, and they have already kind of talked about the worlds merging in together. The problem is the worlds are all merged in together. Maybe this is a Lex that's been hiding out the whole time.
Maybe.
You know, because the worlds have combined. We no longer have multiverses. We haven't.
They're still out there, but it's just.
We just haven't had that crossover. All the multiverses have merged into the one, into Earth Prime now. So we haven't seen. I'm sure they're there, but we haven't seen as viewers of any multiverses yet.
No, they just alluded to it at the ending of that crossover. But there's even though there's one Earth, there's the multiverse is still out there, but it's a little bit harder to reach now.
Yeah,
a little bit harder to reach.
So I mean, like, the only way I could see it happening is maybe he's a remnant of one of the other ones, and it's somebody like the long haired. You know, I don't know the actor you're talking about. I was trying to look him up to see if I could find
African American. He's from that TV show, All American. So.
Oh, okay. So going with a black Lex.
Yeah, they're going Black Lex. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know why.
And I hope he's a good guy. Why don't can't we have it like that? Why can't we just? Why does he always have to be evil?
Yeah.
Like, there's alternate versions of Lex that are actually good, like the one in Crisis on Two Earths.
Yeah, just,
he was a good dude. Just, why can't he be just like an ally to Superman, helping him out?
Because that takes away what Lex is. I mean, that takes away the ego and everything. And
I don't know,
so they're going the Jimmy Olsen route on the new Lex then.
Yeah, I know you're a fan of that one.
Yeah, so. I'm not a fan of that. So.
You mean James Olsen?
James Olsen, I'm sorry.
James, yeah, you forgot, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
Sorry, yeah, just
relax there. You're gonna mess it up, get it right.
Oh, yeah, sorry guys. I'm not a fan. Call me whatever you want, but that's not the reason why. I just think it's ridiculous to change characters, you know, when you already have great characters that are already African American that are there. Use those characters. I would rather see those characters come to life than a rehash of a character we have seen 40 times already. That's just to me. That's the only thing that bothers me.
No, I think you're 100%
right.
I'm not
talking to you. I'm talking to anybody that's listening right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's my irk. Is it's not that they're changing, that they're race changing, race swapping a character just because it's. I think it's a slap in the face to that actor. To, well, I'm doing a character that's already been done by a bunch of other people. It's just a black guy. I'm just doing it as a black guy now. Why not actually bring out a character and pull up that character as, you know, and use him that's already there. You know, there are other characters in the Superman world that can be used, and just sorry, this bothers me. I just
What are your favorites? Too bad he can't be playing Icon.
An Icon, even a Static, you know, would be fun. But again,
you know, the thing about Static, he's got some rights issues going on.
Yeah,
which is kind of stupid. I mean, Static would be perfect to show up in Black Lightning or Hell in Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Static,
shows
are screaming for Static.
Yeah, well, Static should be on Black Lightning. That's just a given. I think that would be the perfect thing. Yeah, yes, Jefferson's got his mentoring of his daughters. Get that, but have a young kid.
Who's already like a couple years ahead of them?
Yeah, and that is basically the same person he was at his age. I mean, I know that's a simple writing trope, but it would work great, and you would introduce an awesome character. I mean, if nobody has seen Static, check it out. I mean, you've got animated version out there, which was okay, but you look back at Static's like comic book career. Oh man, it's just that started on Milestone Comics, and Milestone was the ghetto version, the urban version of Image Comics. It was all these guys that were just sick and tired of the big two always making the call, and always you only had these so many people writing, and these guys being the artists. And these guys were just sick of it, and they all got together and said, hey, we're going to do something. And they all created their own universe, Dakota, and they created all these great characters that actually, you know, everybody talks about that Marvel and DC differences, that Marvel characters have real issues. That's what Milestone was. These characters had real issues. I always talk about Icon, you know, Icon, an alien. He was very Superman-esque. So I'm not going to take it away that he screamed Superman, but it was a different Superman. He landed his ass towards the end of the Civil War, mid-Civil War, and he converted himself into a child. And a slave woman picked him up, and he was raised as a slave, but he was a superhero. He had powers, but he was just beaten down and couldn't use it. It wasn't until like hundreds of years later, you know, he's a lawyer now. He's fighting the good fight in the courtrooms. And this young woman who's in trouble herself, you know, gets caught up, tries to break into his house, and he, you know, stops them with his powers. And she realizes, hey, you can make a difference here. I can be with you, and I can help you make a difference. And she's got no powers at the time. And, but really what's so weird is about that story is it becomes about her. Really, he's like a secondary character. It's about her, a young black woman. She becomes pregnant. She's in their teens. I mean, it's just like, so much heavy shit in that. And that was like comic books in the 90s. Sorry, I went off on a...
That is the biggest problem, I think, a lot of like DC and Marvel face. You have characters out there you can bring out who are already of these ethnicities, like races. They're African American, they're Asian, it's already built in. They have a story, it's right there. So to me, what always has bugged me is like, you're gonna take an existing character and you're just gonna flip the switch and just change race.
Yeah.
And to me, that's lazy. That's very lazy.
It's lazy it's writing
like,
and
stuff
yeah.
out there. It's like you have, like, what is Scarlett Johansson? I don't want to be a Batman on heels.
Yeah.
Like, she's right. Like, Just do your research. Do your homework. There's stuff out there. So many things out there that haven't even been touched like an icon yet. And you can make, oh my God, icon right now? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine icon?
Yeah.
That character is screaming to be let out. I'm surprised that the studios are not greenlighting that for a TV series right now. It's right there. Literally with everything is going on. Are you kidding me? You want something to be, you know, that community can be behind right now? Icon is right there. Right there.
Yep.
And literally they should just do anything about it, green light and get it going. Or I never understood the whole race switch thing. It's just, especially with existing characters and people, like, it's not a big deal. Well, not a big deal to you.
Yeah.
I mean, what if Black Panther became White Panther? Would that suit the storyline? No. Come on. It's just, to me, it's very silly. It's just like, you know, we want to make sure that somebody else
turn into White Power Panther.
I mean,
it's ridiculous when you think about it. But yeah, they stood for something.
Instead
of Wakanda, it's West Virginia. I mean, there is a Wakanda here in America. I can't remember what state it's in. So I mean, he could be from there, and I mean, it just makes ridiculous sense when you start talking about. But yes, these are fictional characters, but these are things that people will read, young people will read, and influence their decisions in their life. And as silly as it sounds, yes, those influenced me as a kid.
I was just thinking about that. That actually is not a bad idea if you think about like having a White Panther type of movie. Like he grows up. As like basically there's a lineage of all these White Panthers and they're all racist or whatever. And he grows up to be the White Panther as well. But he was raised in a different era. Like he grew up around like African Americans and all that stuff. So he doesn't want to fight them. So he actually is going to twist it on his horn. He's going to fight that nation instead of being like represented by that nation. That could be a cool little twerk, a cool little story if you did it right that way. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. I mean, just, you know, growing up in oppression, but he doesn't want to be a part of it. He basically wants to fight against them.
There's just so much out there. And again, if they're going to go the Black Lex Luthor route, I mean, go ahead. I mean, obviously, we know we can stop them, but it just seems like a waste of time and a waste of other great characters. And I understand that Superman is definitely probably going to follow suit with Wonder or with a Supergirl being very, very political in its. In its aspect, and sometimes it's just like it's too preachy, and I'm okay with people being preaching about something, but don't preach too much too hard, because then it's something that people don't want to hear. I think we've mentioned Legends of Tomorrow already on this show, but Legends of Tomorrow does it perfect. They have a gay character, two lesbians, you have a bisexual man, you know, it's just you have those things and they're there. You accept it and you just move on. It's not slammed into your face and going, look at what we're doing. I was like, okay, that's good. But I'm seeing this here and I'm completely fine with it because it's just normal to them. They don't treat it as it's something special. It's normal. That's life. And that's how it is to me.
Yeah, there was an episode, I believe, in season one. I think it was season one or two of Legends where they go back to the 50s. And the guy who's playing Firestorm at the time, he's going out with a white girl. And it's during the 50 times. And that's during that one that racism was heavy, 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 heavy and big. And when he's not asking the white girl like it's nothing, but everyone around him, like in that era, and even the girl didn't even care. She's like, fine, I'll go out with you. But around that era, it was like, hey, you know, you don't do this. And like towards the end of the episode, they started slowly getting converted. Like, dude, it's not a big deal. It is not a big deal. And they didn't throw it in your face. It was done nicely. It was done casually. It was done very cool. It wasn't in your face.
Yeah.
And when you have those episodes that are not in your face, they get across better. I think that same episode, I think Katie Lull. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I call that one. I always think of that one as the Pleasantville episode. You know, you remember the movie Welcome to Pleasantville? Where these kids go back to a black and white and they slowly introduce more modern thought and modern ways. And they slowly, and I kind of took that as Legends version of Pleasantville.
It's almost like that same episode that Katie Lopes was an undercover nurse, and this nurse was starting to dig her, and she's like, hey, don't be afraid of who you are. You like girls? You like girls. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't thrown in your face. It wasn't super preachy. It was just, it is what it is.
Exactly.
Move on.
Yep. Just all I say is just pick the right person, just as long as they're not a douchebag. That's all I care about. I don't care about what race, sex you are. Just don't be an ass.
Yeah. Don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. Please just don't.
So, since you talked about swapping? Are we talking about adding different characters because they feel that it's needed for, you know, having an extra female character or African-American character or Chinese character? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are no longer just Leonardo, Donatello, Michelangelo, and Raphael. Apparently in the IDW publishing, the newest episode or issue for 105, written by Sophie Campbell, they are introducing, they've just lost Splinter in the storyline, spoilers, folks, but they are gaining a sister, a turtle sister. Mona Lisa is her name. So I guess it's finally, you know, we're now, what, 4 decades later, and the turtles have now gotten a girl. You know, I guess that's their version of, you know, Smurfette. I really don't. Not sure what the reason is behind having to have a female turtle. I don't know. It's one of those things. I'm not sure what the reason behind it is. They're turtles. I don't know if young kids are. I never like envy. I mean, I loved reading the turtles. Never looked at them as something I was looking up to. And I needed a representation. They were turtles. They weren't human. But yeah, so we now are introduced to Mona Lisa. So what do you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, first off, they already did this before. If you remember the old Turtles live action show they had, they introduced a female turtle character. Mm. So this is nothing new. I've seen this before. Now they're just reintroducing it back into the comics, and they're going to make it part of the
Was she Mona Lisa then? Or so maybe this is just a rehash of that?
No, she was a different name.
Okay.
Different name. I don't think she was Mona Lisa. Yeah. So it's.
Which is weird. Yeah. It should have been an artist, not a art piece.
Yeah.
Because now wouldn't that indicate that she was Leo's girlfriend then? I mean, since technically.
Yeah, like Mona Lisa. It's too on the head. Like Mona Lisa, really?
Yeah, I mean, they should have found a female artist name and done that again. That was one of the cool things about it. You know, it was like, oh, okay, these guys are named after artists.
Plato or something, or Plato. Socrates. Or something.
Well, that's those are guys.
The philosopher names. I don't know.
But it would still have to be a female.
You can still have a Socrates.
Jesus Christ.
Psy for short. I don't know. You could do something. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Mona Lisa is just too on the point.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Mona Lisa. That's great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Depends how they write her.
I guess
she's just going to start coming out now. So.
Yeah, I'll have to pick. I'm going to pick it up.
Is she going to be like the younger sister, older sister?
I don't know.
They
again,
said, is she going to be the mentor character?
It's brand new episode or issue that came out this past week. Or this coming week, so issue 105, guys. So we'll get out to your comic book store, pick it up, check out Mona Lisa, see if she's anything.
Yeah.
Anything? Yeah, you know?
Let me know. Let us know.
And just let us know if the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie. And
that's amore.
So what do you got?
Well, speaking of fantastic news. You remember that Highlander remake they were going to do with Chad Straczynski, the guy who did John Wick?
Oh, yeah, I vaguely remember.
Back in 2016,
yeah,
he was attached to it.
It fell in the same genre arrange around the Crow remake. When I heard him, I was like, okay, they're both kind of like in that same limbo-ish. I'm not going to take it too serious. And then
during development.
Yeah, hell.
Well, there's been some. The reason there hasn't been any movement is because, according to Jan Straczynski, and I will quote him, we're in heavy development on this Highlander movie, tweaking the scripts, writing conceptual sequences, and how we're going to do everything. We probably have a lot more in person kind of things, but it hasn't slowed down our development process at all. Big fan of superhero movies, and I will ever be a director of one. I'm going to stay out of that first year. Lots of the projects. I love John Wick. Is it kind of superhero? Yeah, maybe. As far as I'm concerned, the Highlander is going to move forward. So they're tweaking, they're editing, which is a good thing. This is good. That means they're taking time. They love the franchise. They want to get it right. These guys are two stunt coordinators. So you know there's going to be kick-ass fight scenes. Not the greatest, you know, dialogue directors, but, you know, they can get somebody to, you know, polish up the script and all that stuff. So it's a big project. It's a big franchise. And to bring it back, you want to modernize it, too. You can't release it like it was. I mean, you got to keep the essence of what it is, the immortals and all that, but you can still add some, you know, difference to the lore. Just please, for the love of God, do not make them come from planet Zeist. That's
sure?
The only thing I ask.
Sure?
Yes. Do not make them come from another planet.
Yeah. That's...
Anything else, don't make them block out the sun. Don't make the immortal turn old. No, don't do none of that. Anything else, fair game.
Yeah, they can do it. It just, again, it's one of those cult sacred movies you just kind of got to watch for. You got a good hardcore fan base. And the fact that it's been so long since the original, that there's something sacred about that movie in a way for a lot of people. And they just have to be careful. They can show homage, do it. Maybe don't do a remake, do a continuation. You know, something. It's just something. I know there can only be one, and there was, and he's gone, and we saw what happened when they tried him. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to have to, unfortunately, after just what I said, they're going to have to do a full-blown reboot. Yeah, but, you know.
And if you're gonna do that, include everything. Like, I think the TV series that was with Adrian Paul, they introduced so much more lore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Highlander stuff, I thought was really
I don't think it was so much more lore, but it was more characters. You got to talk to more characters. You got to see a 2,000-year-old man. You had
Adam,
those.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, you definitely had
Watchers.
Those. Yeah, the Watchers. Yeah, so I mean, the lore itself of the Highlanders and the Immortals were all pretty much they stuck to the book there, but they added that hey, you know, people were aware of this happening. It's not like you guys weren't all that sneaky, you know. So there were people out there. That part I kind of dug. I think that fits more into a television series. I don't know if that would really work so much in a movie because you are limited by your time in a movie. So you probably are going to want to more build up the lore on the species of immortals, and then maybe a second or third movie. That's when you introduce, hey, you know, there are Watchers. Very similar to characters that were in a movie where you and I were talking about not that long ago, the Interview with the Vampire in Queen, yes. Queen of the Dam. You had the Talamasca, and they were the Watchers of the Vampires in the Supernatural. And, you know, you didn't hear much about them in, like, the first book or two. The second book, I think you sort of got introduced to them. And then, you know, a couple books later, they actually had their own book to kind of explain, you know, where they're from and what they do. So, I mean, it's definitely something to do. You just don't want to do it right away.
Yeah, and like I said, you don't want to... If it were me, honestly, I think I would go the route of, like, almost like Queen of the Damned. Like, they basically, like, Duncan MacLeod and Connor MacLeod, they've lived, they've died, whatever. Or maybe Duncan's still out there. Who knows? Why don't you introduce, like, a new clan? Like, somebody else. Like, maybe in that same village in the Highlands of Scotland. There was, like, there was other clans out there.
Yeah.
So...
There's something about the Clan MacLeod. That's just something that just...
I don't know. You could do... What, you don't like the Clan Jones?
Yeah, no, Jones.
The Clan of Jones.
No, Jones are Welsh. Sorry, that doesn't work that well.
Or the Clan of Zayas. Come on, you could do like the Spaniards and shit like that.
They did. I mean, they had a dirty Spanish guy in there, so don't worry. Ramirez.
He was not Spanish.
Yeah,
Ramirez was not Spanish. He was Spanish Egyptian or something shit.
Yeah.
So. And he couldn't even, not a word of Spanish. He could.
Nope. It's Egyptian Spanish with a Scottish accent. Get over it. Who carried a Japanese sword? Makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
You know, and see that's the one thing is the trick of redoing that. It's you having to cast. You have to find a great, great cast to do. You know, because you have to get that
Liam
mentor
Neeson as Ramirez. That's what I want.
I could definitely see
that role before.
Yeah, he has, in a way.
He's older. He's done action stuff. Maybe he doesn't want to do it anymore. But look, he would be the perfect.
Yeah, you need that. Right you need the perfect. You need the perfect mentor. You need the perfect villain. You know, and I think that will be great. And then, of course, you know, you just have an unknown play the lead, and that's just go from there. You know, just
so you need two bookends.
Yeah.
So you got Liam on one side, and you know the big bookend on the other side. Who's big and imposing that you could put up there?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's
because you can get the unknown.
You can get the big and imposing, but you got to get the acting to go along with that. That was the one thing, you know, with Clancy. He was he was big and imposing, and also had the acting chops to back it up. I can think of a couple of big and imposing character or actors, just don't see them acting that way. You know, you can definitely pull in a Momoa. I mean, he's big. He's got the warrior look.
Ooh,
but
he's not a bad.
But he's not.
Yeah,
I just haven't seen him act that in that way before. He's always been more of the, heroic.
Wouldn't be a bad choice.
You know, it's you just. I mean, somebody in that realm.
I wonder if he can go dark side though. I haven't seen him in any movies that he's a villain.
That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen that yet. That's what I'm saying. I haven't seen him emote that side of his acting.
But I tell you what, if they offered it to him, he'd probably take it. Because like, oh, hey, sure. We're gonna make you a villain. Yeah. Are you kidding me? He's gonna eat that up.
Yeah.
He'd probably be studying for days. I mean, like Heath Ledger when he was chosen to be the Joker. I mean, everybody's like, oh, he was a first night guy, you know, Brokeback Mountain, and he dived into that role.
See, I was took him as the 10 things I hate about you. That's I remembered him from that more than anything.
That's another one. That's actually a movie. 10 things about you. I had my teen moments. But yeah, a guy like Momoa, dude, I think he'd be perfect with Liam Neeson. Get an unknown.
Yeah.
And then go. And then you cast all your Wiccan characters. You could throw them in that universe too.
Yep. So one of my last ones actually is two things, and actually they kind of fall under the same umbrella. Netflix is pulling some major stuff out this year. First one is, and I've been waiting for this. It was supposed to be out beginning of this month, actually. Yeah, beginning of this month, end of last month. Netflix has finally announced the Netflix series War for Cybertron Siege cartoon. If anybody's seen the trailers for that, it's basically old school Autobots, Decepticons battle, but primarily looks like set on Cybertron. It's just, I mean, if nobody's seen it, go out and find the trailer out on YouTube. Amazing. It is the computer graphic design on it, but it just looks just drop down, just gorgeous. You don't have a lot of the Autobots having Earth mode, so like when you see the Decepticon jets, they're the pyramid type looking Cybertronian jets. And you do have the return of some of the voice actors from the original series. Bumblebee does have a voice, so
thank you.
Make sure you guys do. Check out the trailer. The trailer's been out for probably a good 6 months. I'm not sure. It was all done before COVID-19 came kicking around, so I'm not exactly sure what caused the delay. I don't know if they were like, okay, well, maybe we're not going to have enough stuff to release in a couple of months. Let's hold this off because we've already had they had Space Force being released and they had a couple of other things that were getting released at the time. So I don't know if that's maybe the thought behind it. And then there was another one. I'm a member of a Facebook group. I think you are as well for the Cobra Kai Dojo.
Yes, Sensei.
We are fans of the Cobra Kai, and Cobra Kai started off on YouTube. It was one of their YouTube Red channel, one of their first shows. And if you want to talk about a writing staff and producers that are in love with a product in a story, and you want them to, and you, that's, this is the essence of what you want when you're trying to redo a movie or a television series. These guys live and breathe Karate Kid. And they know the lore, the essence, the heartbeat of this. And they captured that in the first season. I mean, it was just amazing to see what they did. They brought the original cast back, everybody that they could. They did show, you know, nods and you know, to prior cast members that, you know, had passed on. But they were showing a new generation and showing how the new generation is, and actually literally taking a villain from our youth and turning him into a down and out hero, you know, an anti-hero in all aspects.
I think he carries that series, to be honest. Like the first season, it was all about him and his redemption. Like, if you, it's how eerie it was, that series, like from the beginning, you know, what the Karate Kid was to what it became to, like, you know, Cobra Kai. Especially that last episode of season one, where it was like, you know, when Johnny, he was all about, like, you know, I'll do anything to win. But over the years, his ideals and everything morphed, and he had a kid of his own. And that finals episode, to me, if you look at acting, he basically is acting without saying a word. Mm-hmm. Like, look at his eyes, how he emotes. Like, he's just looking like, you know, we shouldn't be doing this. It's not the way, you know, I wanted to do it a different way. And then it all twists on his head at the end of season two, which, you know,
I'll get to that. Yeah, but I mean, you've got everybody coming back. You know, the original Cobra Kai sensei, Kreese. I mean, you've got, like I said, pretty much everybody. The only person we have not had back from the first movie was Ali.
Elizabeth Shue.
Yeah, Elizabeth Shue. Sorry, I knew last name. I forgot her first name. But, you know, we've got pretty much everybody back. There is rumors, but it just went in limbo after season two. And everybody that's in this group that we belong to, they're just freaking out, going, man, when are we going to see it? Are we ever going to see it? Is it gone? Is it dead? Is it dead?
Who's every pick? Single day they're posting stuff about season 3. Oh my God.
And there are people that are in this group that are part of Cobra Kai. And even they were like, yeah, we haven't heard anything yet. We don't have any news, nothing. And then it was discovered a couple weeks ago in the group, somebody posted, hey, check out Netflix. So I popped on Netflix and there was Cobra Kai. But nothing else, just the title card, no shows, no information, just an image in Netflix. I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And then just last week, we got a full-blown announcement that, yes, Cobra Kai is coming to Netflix for season 3. And, of course, season 2 and 1, I would assume, will follow up so everybody can. So people that weren't on YouTube Red can get caught up and really fall in love with this show if you are any bit of a Karate Kid fan or just an 80s movie fan, and they can recapture it. There used to be a video on YouTube, still is, not used to, but about how Johnny was the hero and Daniel cheated in the finals, and it almost takes that point of view and puts it into a show, and I think it's great. So
it's even mentioned, and in season 1 when Johnny's talking to
first episode, you took me with a legal kick.
Yeah, he's like,
were you still on that? Yep.
And then he was talking about, he's like, hey, man, that was my girlfriend at the time. He's hitting on her. I was just asking, hey, what are you doing? And it escalated to a fight. He Daniel started the fight.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny to watch it.
The way they did it, it's so good. Like the way they did it. Like they flipped it on its ears.
But guys, for any Cobra Kai fans out there or anybody interested, we will see this returning on Netflix. And so my Cobra Kai brothers and sisters will, I'm sure we'll all be happy and ready to see it. So
they'll rejoice and they'll be talking about every episode every day. And God, those guys, they're awesome.
They are. All right, guys. Awesome. Well, that's the last that I have. You do have any more?
No, sir.
All right. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in, subscribing, checking us out, downloading us here at the Heroes Asylum of a million podcasts out there and YouTube shows. Thank you for checking us out. If you are on our YouTube channel, make sure you do hit the subscribe button and click the notification so you guys can at least get that. I am working on trying to figure out how to add that all to our video. We're still working. If you guys haven't seen, we're still working on our quality of video first. So we're going to nail that down. Then we'll move on to the next part. But again, thank you guys, and make sure you do check us out over at the heroesasylum.com page. It's a constant in work progress. I haven't uploaded anything new in probably about a month, but there are links there to all everything for our Facebook pages and everything. And what do you got there, Kane?
Twitter and Instagram at the Heroes Asylum Podcast. Twitter page. I always post stuff on there every now and then. I try to do more, but I always post like odd questions. I'll point out questions here and there, like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Sometimes I put news stories, but mostly it's a thought of the asylum that's going on at the moment. Check it out. Instagram, same thing, Heroes Asylum. Facebook page at the Heroes Asylum or the Heroes Asylum podcast page, which I have to remember to post stuff on there. And as always, from the captain to me to you, have a good week and get to the asylum.
See you.